Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachas Daf Samach Beis. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to daf Samach Beis, we notice toward the upper part of the page, there's a two dots at which the Gemara presents a Dibur HaMaschil Ushtei HaLechem Ushnei Kivsei Atzeres V'chule. Following that, then you see a Tanu Rabbana at the beginning of the line with a long Tanaic source that's identified by the framed section. In our Gemara marking system, we attempt to frame off the sources that are of Tanaic origin, including Brises and Mishnayos that the Gemara quotes, so as to set them apart from the rest of the Gemara literature. We also feature in our Shas Ozer, the cornerstone of the Gemara marking system, a Nosei topic heading in the outside margin. Together with that, we present also a Mivne, structural note. At times, we combine these into one note, and at times, present them separately. In this particular instance, we have a combined Nosei Mivne heading in the outside margin, wherein we present the topic at hand, and a note concerning the structure, the use of the geometric forms that will appear in this sukya. So you'll notice there's a triangle, and we have a note, four deos, there are four opinions, betzuras hanochas shnei halechem im kivsei hoatzeres b'sh'as tenufasan. How the breads, the two loaves, are positioned with regard to the two sheep, the kivsei atzeres, at the tenufa time, at the time that the waving takes place. The issue of the waving is a topic that has been the subject of the last couple of dapim. In addition to the triangle, we'll also have a double underline, and that will be underlining, that will be emphasizing tiur, a description, shel oisetzura, position, lefi kol echod min hadeos, according to each one of the opinions. So as we look in the Gemara, before learning the text itself, let's just use our markings to navigate. The first triangle that you will see is around the expression afkan. In this case, there's no name that it goes along with this particular shita, so we put a triangle over here. The next triangle you'll see is around Rabbi Yossi ben Hamshulam, and after that, Rabbi Chanina ben Chachinoi. And following that, Rebbe. But let's look at the first triangle and the double underline. So the first opinion says, Lechem Lamala, that the bread will be above the sheep during the waving. The next opinion, Rabbi Yossi ben Hamshulam, says, Kvosim Lamala, the sheep are on top. The third opinion, Chanino ben Chachinoi, says, Meniach Shtei Halechem Bein Yerechosen Shel Kvosim. He will describe the sheep as lying on their sides, and the breads will be placed between the legs of the sheep, so that if you use imagery, there's a type of sandwich where the legs are on top and below, and the bread in the middle between the legs as the sheep are lying on their sides. And Rebbe says, Miniach ze bitzad ze. If you see at the end of the Tanaic source, you see another double underline. That's Rebbe's Shita, who says that they are placed next to each other. So as you can see, with the triangles, you notice the four opinions as to the positioning of the Shtei HaLechem with regard to the sheep, the Kivsei Atzeres, during the waving process. Now, let's turn to the Gemara. The Gemara opens up with this Tanaic source, and it cites a posuk from Vayikra, Perek Chof Gimel, posuk Chof. The pasuk we have included in the outside margin, in the inside margin, that is, where you can see we've written in Vehenif Hakoin Osam Alechem Habikurim Tenufa Lifnei Hashem Al Shnei Kevosim. In this pasuk, you'll notice it says that the Kohen will wave them on the bread. Lechem Habikurim is the Shtei Alechem. So they are on the bread, and it says Tnufa Lifnei Hashem, and it says Al Shnei Kvosim, where it sounds like the bread is on them, on the sheep. So at the beginning of the pasuk it says Al Lechem, that they, the sheep, are on the bread, and the end of the pasuk says the bread are Al Shnei Kvosim, are on the sheep. With that in mind, we turn to the text. Tanu Rabbanan, Vehenif Hakoyin Oisam Al Lechem Habikurim. With our markings, we've emphasized two words, al and lechem. So we get the feeling of something is on the bread. The sheep are on the bread. So with that posuk in mind, yochol yaniach kvosim al gabi lechem, does that mean I should place the sheep on the breads? Talmud lomar, al shnei kvosim. Well, in the same posuk you see, on the sheep, indicating the bread is on the sheep. Al Shnei Kvosim, if I'm to take that as the direction, Yochol Lechem Al Gabi Kvosim, then should I say the bread is on the sheep? Talmud Lomar Al Lechem Habikurim, indicating that the sheep are on the bread. Well, we're going in circles. Nishtakel Hakosov, the Nishtakel means Shakul or equal. Nishtakel Hakosov, the Ein Yodea. The Pasuk itself is basically balanced as far as which goes on what. I don't know, he says, im lechem al gabi kvosim, v'im kvosim al gabi lechem. Is it so that the bread is on the sheep, or the sheep are on the breads? So, to resolve this, the first opinion says, ma motzinu b'chol mokoim, lechem l'malo. What do we find elsewhere, as by way of precedent? We find bread above, af kan lechem l'malo. So too, with regard to the kivsei atzeres, the shvuas, sheep, bread offering, the bread shall be on top. Here there's a minor interruption. The Gemara itself interrupts, and that's what this little bracketed half line indicates, that there's a Gemara interruption. So here the Gemara asks, Heicha, where is that precedent? You said that we find b'chol mokim bread above, that when you have an animal bread offering, the bread is on top. Where is that? Amar Papa b'miluim. We find that during the historical Mishkan dedication period. We go on with another opinion regarding the bread-sheep positioning. Rabbi Yossi ben Hamshulam Oimer, Kivosim Lamala. The sheep are on top. Uman imekayim al shnei kivosim. What am I to do with this part of the pasuk that indicates the bread is on the sheep? Al shnei kivosim. So he says that's not the instruction with regard to the positioning, but rather the role of this phrase, al shnei kivosim, is lahoitzi shiva, to the exclusion of the seven other sheep that are brought on the holiday, on Shavuos, that are not part of the waving at all. So there's two. These two are actually shlomim. They are shlomim, public shlomim sacrifices. Those are part of the waving. The seven sheep are part of an ola, seven ola offerings that do not come, that are not part of the waving. Chanino ben Chachinoi Omer Miniach Shtei Halechem Bein Yerechusem Shel Kvosim. This is the third opinion. He says the breads are placed between the legs of the animals while lying on their sides. Umeinif, and he waves them in that form. The breads with the sheep, the breads between their legs. V'nimtza mekayim shnei mikros halolu. With this positioning of the breads, you in effect are accomplishing the spirit of both phrases. Lechem al gabi kvasim. So the bread that's between the legs is above the lower leg. Ukvosim al gabi lechem. And the sheep are above the bread. The upper leg, the upper leg is above the bread. So it's kvosim, that element of the sheep is on top of the bread. Omar Rebbe. Rebbe reacts to this last opinion. He says, Lifnei melech bosar v'dam ein oisin kain. In front of a mortal king, you wouldn't present a mortal king with sheep and breads between the legs of the animal. Lifnei melech malchei hamlochim ushboruchu oisin kain. Would you think to do that in front of the Almighty, the King of Kings? Ela, rather, meniach ze b'tzad ze u'meinif. Rebbe holds that the sheep are placed next to the breads, they're side by side, and do the waving in that form. The Gemara asks, how can you say next to or side by side? V'hol bo'inan al. The pasuk itself made reference to the word al. In fact, it did that twice. And the al simply usually means on top of, not side by side. Omale Rav Chisda the Rav Hanuna. The Amri law means another version, and when we have alternative versions in the Gemara, we use our squiggle underline in the marking system to indicate the alternative version. And we should point out that's one of the uses of the squiggle underline. It appears in other contexts as well. But when you have alternatives, we try to feature the switch expression with the squiggle underline. So here, the Amri law, we switch to the other opinion as far as names are concerned. And it's Rav Hamnuno says to Rav Chisda, Rebbe Litamei. Rebbe, in giving his explanation of next to, is consistent with what he has said elsewhere. The Omar Rebbe, who has said, Al equals besamuch. The word Al, in fact, does mean next to. The Sanya, we have a Tanaic source that features the Lavona spice together with the Lechem Haponim, with the 12 loaves that sat on the Shulchan inside the Heichal of the Beis Hamikdash. The Lavona was contained in vessels known of as Bozichin. So where was the Lavona positioned relative to the Lechem Haponim? So we're going to learn a Tanaic source, and in this source we will feature Shitas Rebbe. V'nosato al hamareches levoi nazaka. The pasuk says that you will place. Now the word al, we won't translate it, but we just note the word. You'll place al the mareches, the set of breads, levona zaka, pure levona spice. Rebbe Oimer, al equals besamach. The word al means next to. In other words, you have two stacks of bread that are placed on the shulchan, six loaves in each stack, and Rebbe is saying the pasuk that says you shall v'nosata al hamarches, you shall place next to the stacks of bread the levona. Ata oimer al equals besamach eino elo al mamish. Are you telling me al means next to, or maybe it means literally on top of? That when you see the word al, it has to mean on top of, and in that case you would be then placing the levona on top of the breads. Kishu omer, he answers, as when it says another pasuk v'sakoisa al ha'oron es haparoches. The paroches is the curtain separating the innermost sanctum from the rest of the heichal. And it says there, v'sakoisa al ha'oron. So the paroches is then al ha'oron. What does that mean? It obviously does not mean that the curtain was on top of the arm, because that's not the way it was. The curtain was hung between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Heve Omer, therefore we should say, Al equals Besamuch. Al means next to. In other words, the curtain was next to the Aron HaKodesh. So, Rebbe, using this pasuk, shows or justifies the translation of the word al as meaning next to. Hence, he is pshat with regard to the breads as well. When it said in the pasuk, v'hinif oisam al lechem abikurim, it meant next to. The Gemara now turns to the section dealing with the actual waving. Moilich umevi, those are lateral movements. Male umurid, vertical movements. All this movement constitutes the waving. Before going on in the Gemara, we will shortly notice a diamond form appearing. We glance at our Nosei Mivneh heading that accompanies this section. The diamonds are Hesberim Le Moiluchu Mevi Male Umorid. We'll give some inner or deeper explanations to these actions. In other words, the Mishnah says what to do. The Gemara will reveal a little bit as to what is behind these movements. Omar, the first approach, Omar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Moilich Umevi, the movement, this lateral movement, is Lami Sharuchoi Shaloi. It's a type of recognition of the Almighty who is in charge of the winds. And Rashi explains, Moilich Umevi, Letzafon Ledorom Mizuchumarov, there's a north-south and east-west movement, in order to prevent the influence of bad winds. This will be featured a little bit later in the Gemara again. So the Molech Umevi is a recognition of the Almighty's control over the winds, and it's an action that serves as a type of prayer, a prayer in action form, action meaning the movement form, to forestall or offset the influence of negative winds. Male u'moirid, the up-down movement, is l'mi sha'ashamayim v'oretz shelo. Also, an acknowledgement of the Almighty's rule over the heavens above and the earth below. Another approach, b'maravo masnu hochi. You can see we've used the squiggle underline to indicate that the Gemara is presenting an alternative explanation. Omar Rav Chamo bar Ukfa, Omar Rav Yezi bar Rav Chanina, bar Rav Chanina, moilechu mevi, kidei latsor ruchois rois. Whereas the first approach emphasized, let's say, lemi shashamayim v'aretz shelo, or lemi sharuchos shelo, The first version was emphasizing the movement for the Almighty. Here, their version of that is to prevent more of what the action is trying to accomplish. So the first version was emphasizing in honor of whom the action is done. The second version is what the purpose of the action is. In our explanation, when we read the Rashi, we seem to combine both in the first explanation, but for the purpose of seeing the difference between the two Lishonos, we are now offering this pshat, this explanation, that the first one was emphasizing the recognition of the Almighty's control, and here we're emphasizing the purpose or the goal in doing these movements. And finally, you have Malu Moirid, the up-down movement, is Kedei Latzer Tlolim Royim, to prevent the negative or bad dew that could ruin crops. Omar Rabbi Yossi Barav Ovin Zoysoy Meres, from what we have just learned, we can conclude, Shiore Mitzvah Ma'akfin Es Hapuronus. Shiore mitzvah is a new expression. Rashi says shiore mitzvah, the lo ma'akfa kapora. The waving action is not a binding ritual. Velo ikur mitzvah, and it's not the main aspect of this commandment. Kinamirim perek shtei midos shim also the tnufa shiore mitzvah ma'al olav hakosuv kilu lo kiper v'kiper. And what that means is that if he did not do the waving, it's not viewed positively. However, he has fulfilled his basic commandment of bringing this sacrifice. So we're seeing that here, that which is even of a subsidiary nature, nevertheless, has the power of preventing puronus, preventing bad from befalling us. The ha tenufa, the Gemara says, this waving, shiore mitzvah, it is a shiore mitzvah, as we just said, a non-binding aspect of the commandment, and yet, it has the power of forestalling natural calamity. Omar rabo v'chein lulav. so too is with regard to the lulav. Namely, in the waving of the lulav, there is also a moilich umevi action. Rav Acho bar Yankov mamti le umaisi le. Rav Acho bar Yankov, who lived after the time of the Beis Hamikdash, so where he is focusing on the lulav, or the Gemara is focusing his action with regard to his lulav. He used to wave his lulav, umach vihochi, and point out the omar, and claim or say gira be'eno the sitna. The lulav was a type of spear, and he was saying that I'm shooting a gira, an arrow. This is in effect shooting an arrow into the eye of the satan. The Gemara though comments on Rav Acha and says v'lav milsahi, it's not a good idea to announce that. Mishum de'osi le'is garuyei bay, that will serve to incite him. Don't say that a particular action is his way of getting back, getting at the satan, because as we just said, that sort of arouses or incites the satan stafka, specifically to in fact become aroused against one who says that. Tanu Rabbanan. Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur Teunin Tnufa Le'achar Shchita. The public Shlomim offering, which in fact is the Kivsi Atzeres, the two sheep that are brought on Shavuos, they require a waving La'achar Shchita after their slaughtering. In other words, even after their slaughtering, because there is a waving of the Kivsi Atzeres while they are alive. Utnufasan kemois shehein. The tnufa that's done after their slaughtering is while they are whole. They are complete. As they are, meaning without being dismembered into separate limbs. Divrei Rebbe. V'chachomim omrim b'choze v'shoik. Chachomim, who disagree with Rebbe, say that the tnufa after shechita is done only with the choze v'shoik limbs of the animal. Rashi points out as far as why the Braisa emphasizes that there's a need for the tnufa lachar shchita, and Rashi says three lines from the bottom, de b'chayin lo itzterich le'limisni, there's no need for this source to tell me about the waving while they are alive, de begufei ksiv, that is found in the posuk itself. So there's no need for the Braisa to make mention of that which one can see in the Pasuk itself. That's as far as the live waving. Here we're talking about the waving after their slaughter. As far as that is concerned, we just saw Machlokes Rebbe and Chachamim, Rebbe holding that the waving after their slaughter is the same as the waving while they were alive, namely they are still complete and not dismembered. The Chachamim holding that the post-shechita, the post-slaughter waving involves only the choze v'shok limbs. Those are the names of two limbs of the animal. B'mai komifliki. What's the underlying basis of this controversy between Rebbe and the Chachamim? Before we go further, let's just take note of the Nosei and Mivneh heading we have that accompanies this new marking. There is a house form that you see, and in the outside margin we've indicated three gishois, three approaches, or three deyas, three opinions. Lahazbir machlokes Rebbe Chachamim b'tnufa shelachar shchita shel hashalmei tzibur, to explain this issue of the post-slaughter waving of the kibsei atzeres. The first approach, Omar le Rav Chista le Rav Hamnuna the Amri la Rav Hamnuna le Rav Chista. Interesting to note that we saw above the same two versions of the names presented. You'll notice that at the third to last narrow line of the Gemara itself, where you had Rav Chista saying to Rav Hamnuna, and the alternative version is Rav Hamnuna saying to Rav Chista. The point of controversy is as follows. Bedon mina umina, that's one opinion. Bedon mina v'uki ba'asra is the other opinion. These are two methods of deriving the unknown from the known. In our sukya, the unknown is method of post-slaughter waving of the Shalmei Tzibor. That's the unknown. I am going to derive that from known information. The first approach of Don Mino Umino says, I am going to derive the two necessary points from one source. The second approach, Don Mino V'uki V'asro, says, I'm not going to derive the two necessary points from the same source, but rather, one point I will derive from an outside source. In our case, we'll see the outside source is the Shalmei Yochid, the private Korban Shlomim, which is different than our public Korban Shlomim. So one point of information will be derived from the Shalmei Yochid. However, the other point of information that will become self-apparent in the Gemara, that will be Be'asra, that will be derived from this own location, the topic of Shalmei Tzibor. This may sound a little abstract or vague, simply because we haven't plugged in the factors yet. But just to go over the general approach, Don Mino Mino tells us that all necessary information will be derived from the same outside source. Don Mino V'uki Be'asra says, part of the information that I need to derive will be from the outside source. The balance of the information needed will be derived from the issue at hand itself. In our markings, you will notice that we have the komifligi expression with a diagonal dashed underline. The reason for this is we want to emphasize in each opinion, under each house, if you will, each house that we see in the markings represents a new opinion in explaining this machlekes. We want to emphasize the expression komifligi, which is at which point is the point of difference. Or we'll see also we're going to use this marking for the expression dekule alma on the top of Amid Beis, where the Gemara says, as far as this is concerned, everyone is in agreement. So this marking will be used in our sugya for emphasizing points of either dispute or agreement. So at this point, we just stated the point of difference was how you derive the unknown from the known. Rabbonon Savri, with this particular marking, we've double underlined with dots in it the Rabbonon's approach, and on the next line, toward the end of the line, you'll see Rebbe's approach. So Rabbonon Savri, Don Mino Umino. The Rabbonin who hold that the post-slaughter waving involves the two limbs alone, the Chazav HaShoik, they say derive your information concerning the public Shlomim offering, derive all of the necessary information from Mino, from the outside source. And the outside source is the private Korban Shlomim. And here we go on and we'll note with numbers the two points that I need to derive. Number one, Ma Zivchei Shalmei Yochitun in Tnufa Liachar Shchita, just like private Shlomim require a waving post-slaughter, Af Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor Tun in Tnufa Liachar Shchita, so too the public Shlomim offering, which is the topic that we described as the unknown, it's our topic, which we need to know about, it too requires a post-shchita, post-slaughter waving. Umina, we've dashed underlined Umina, because at this point, when we go on later, we will see this is going to be the point of difference. So Umina, and further, we continue to derive from the outside source, the Shalmei Yochid, Ma Hosim B'Chaz of Ashok, just like by the Shalmei Yochid, the waving involves just the limbs, the Chaz of Ashok limbs, Apocha, so too, the Shalmei Tzibor, which is our topic, which we want to discover, which was the unknown, and it now becomes known to the Rabbanan, af hocha, so to the Shalmei Tzibor Nami because of a shok. So when you look back at the framed source where the Chachamim were represented, they had said that the post-slaughter Shalmei Tzibor waving involves Chaz of Ashok. You now know where they got that from. They got that from a total comparison of the Shalmei Tzibor to the known Shalmei Yochid. The Rebbe Savar. Now, Rebbe's opinion. Now, we know Rebbe holds that they are the post-slaughter waving is done while they are complete in the Shalmei Tzibor. Where does Rebbe know that from? Don mina v'uki be'asra. Derive some of your information from mina, from the outside source. Once again, the Shalmei Yochid. But the balance of it, don't seek it from the outside source, but derive it from within the topic of the Shalmei Tzibor itself. So you'll notice that the beginning of Rebbe is the same as the beginning of the Rabbanan. Namely, point one is the same. That's the Don Mina. Start your deriving from the outside source. Ma zivche shame yochitun in tnufa lachar shechita, just like the private shlomim requires a waving post slaughtering. Ach zivche shame tzibur tunin tnufa lachar shechita, so too the public shlomim requires a post slaughter waving. Notice, of course, now the dashed underline, v'uki ba'asra, this is the point at which the Rabbanan depart from Rebbe, Rebbe departs from the Rabbanan, and because the nature of the post-slaughter waving, the Rebbe holds, is derived from ba'asra, from the topic of public shlomim itself. This will be explained. Hosam who there in the Shalmei Yochid the Chaz of Ashok, Aval Hocha, but in the case of the Shalmei Tzibor, Kemos Shehein, as they are, Kemos Shehein B'chayim, just like they were when they were alive. And we know that when they were alive, they were waved, the Shalmei Tzibor were waved, complete, whole. So too, post-slaughter of the Shalmei Tzibor will be done like that, while they are complete and not dismembered. The Rashi that's appropriate for this last piece of Gemara is found on Amud Beis. In other words, it's the Rashi's printed out of place, and in our marked Gemaras, you can see we've indicated that with a type of squiggled frame around the inappropriate placed Rashi explanation. And that's on Amud Beis. And Rashi there says, V'uki ba'asra, kedin shemotzinu l'shalmei tzibur atzmon, shetunin tenufa shlemin, the issue of the post-slaughter method of waving of the public shlomim is derived from another aspect of the public shlomim that we know, namely the live waving of the public shlomim, and that was done while they were complete, whole. And so too, that's what B'uki Basra means. The unknown, the post-slaughter, will be derived from the topic itself of the public shlomim, where we have some known information, and that is the waving while it was alive. So just like while alive it was waved complete, whole, so too post-slaughter waving will be as it is whole. Rav Papa, we turn now to Samach Beis, Amud Beis at the top, and where you see Rav Papa in the house, a second approach, Omar, Dekule Alma, Don Mina Umina. Everyone holds that when you are deriving the unknown from the known, you shall derive all points from the outside topic. So far, that would sound like the approach we saw taken by the first opinion, the Rabbanan opinion, that we saw on Omid Aleph. Well, if you say everyone holds like that, then Rebbe is going to need to be explained over here. Because according to the simple approach of Don Mina Omina, that would lead us to the Chaz of Ashok waving, of the post-slaughter public shlomim waving. And therefore the Gemara says, V'hainu taimo de Rebbe. And therefore we have, and the following is the reason for Rebbe that holds complete. Once again, if you, like Rav Papa says, everyone holds don mino mino, then it's Shitas Rebbe that needs to be explained. How is it that you can come to the conclusion that they're waived complete during the post-slaughter waiving? So he says, ki hasam. Just like over there. In other words, I am going to be true to this approach of don mino mino. I'm going to learn, first of all, that there is a post-slaughter waving, and I'm going to learn the nature, the type, or what, how, or what needs to be waived also from the private korban shlamim. Ma hasam davar shematon alekain, just like in the private shlamim, what is waived? The chasav ishok. That is that which is given to the kain, the gift to the kain. Well, av hacha, so too in the case of the shalmei tzibur davar shematon alekain, I'm going to waive that which is given to the kohen. Just so happens that that which is given to the kohanim in the public korban shlamim is complete, the two complete sheep. So Rav Papa just told us that Rebbe derives all of his information from the private korban shlamim. That's don mino umino. It's simply that Rebbe, in coming to his conclusion of shlamim, in principle is not any different than the way the private korban shlamim was waived, namely that which was given as a gift to the kohen. Ravina, the third approach, Omar de kuli amadon mina v'uki v'asra. Oh, he says everyone will say that when you're deriving your unknown, you're not going to derive all your information from the outside topic, but rather part from the outside topic, part from the shalmei yochid in this case, and the balance from other information that you know about the shalmei tzibur. Now, if that be the case, so then the opinion of the Rabbonan becomes a little difficult. Namely, how do they come to the conclusion that it's just chazev ashoik? V'hainu taimo de Rabbonan. The following is the basis of the Rabbonan that say chazev ashoik by the post-slaughter shalmei tzibur waving. Shalmehem. The pasuk uses the word shalmehem, which is ribui hu. And this expression is found in by the shalmei yochid. Rashi quotes the pasuk, and he says, as chazat nufas shalkat shrumah lukafti meis b'nei Yisrael mizivchei shalmehem. So by the private korban shlamim, the pasuk that talks about the chaza and shok limbs, it says I take them from the zivchei shamehem, which is an inclusive expression. This is an expression that will include public shlamim as well, the shamei tzibur, which is our topic. So that in the pasuk that deals with the chaza v'shok, you have an inclusive expression to say that chaza v'shok applies not only to the private korban shlamim, but to the public korban shlamim as well, and that will figure in the context of its waving. As we turn to the continuation of the Gemara, we notice a framed section. This is actually a rather unorthodox use of the frame, because what this in effect is, the next between these two dots, from here to the next two dots, is a really simple Dibur HaMaschil quote from the Mishnah. Generally speaking, though, the length of those quotes is much less than what you see over here. This is a very long quote from the Mishnah. And as one shouldn't misconstrue what's taking place here, we use the frame simply to indicate that it's all part of a Tanaic source. In this case, it is from our Mishnah. The markings that we've used here are similar to that we spent time explaining when we were learning the Mishnah. So let's just go through this again, but relying primarily on our previous explanation. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shloisha Minin Teunin Shalosh Mitzvos. There are examples of three sacrifices that amongst the three sacrifices, you will find three mitzvos. However, we're going to call them revolving mitzvos, and that expression will become clear as we go on. Shtayim b'chol achas. We mentioned three sacrifices. We also mentioned three mitzvahs, three commands. There will be two commands with regard to each one of these sacrifices. Ushlishis ein bohen. And a third command there will not be with regard to each specific sacrifice. V'elu hein. First, the list of the sacrifices. Zivchei shamei yochid, zivchei shamei tzibor, v'osham metzora. And now, the Mishnah goes on to explain the two mitzvahs that apply to each one of these three sacrifices. Zivchei shamei yochid has te'unin, requires smicha chayim, the placing of the hands on the animal while it's alive, and place the owner places his hands on the animal, utnufa shchutin, and a waving after they've been slaughtered, the ein bohen tnufa chayim. We've used the squiggle underline to emphasize that which it needs and that which it doesn't. And the mitzvahs that it needs, we've indicated with letters in parentheses. That which is not required, we use a letter without the parenthesis. The second sacrifice and its two commandments, Zivchei Shamei Tzibor Te'unin, they require Tenufa Chayim Ushchutin. Those are examples. The lettering that we have here is like we said on the Mishnah as well. We're working with the previous lettering system. So that in example one, we said that the Zivchei Shamei Yochid do not require Tenufa Chayim. So Tenufa Chayim was labeled there as Gimel. So here, when we see Tenufa Chayim, we also label it Gimel. So the Zivchei Shamei Tzibor require Tenufa Chayim and Shchutin, and after they're slaughtered, the Ein Bohen Smicha. They do not have the placing of the hands. Osham Mitzora, Ta'un Smicha Utenufa Chay, the Ein Boi Tenufa Shachut. What the Gemara does now is it presents suggestions and rejections of the suggestions regarding each one of these sacrifices. Let us glance at our Nosei Mivneh heading that accompanies this piece of Gemara. In the outside margin, you'll notice we have featured a triangle, and a little bit later, a double underline. These are markings that will accompany this piece of Gemara. The triangle in the Gemara itself will appear in two different directions. We've labeled this in parentheses in our note, Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth nature of this sugya. The triangle with its point facing up are Hatzos, suggestions, al pi svora, that are of a logical origin, L'chayev kol echod me ha-korbonos hanal b'mitzvah sh'Rabbi Shimon Omar ein lo. An attempt to actually say that the mitzvah that Rabbi Shimon said does not apply to each one, respectively, should apply. In other words, when you look at the framed quote of the Mishnah just above, we had squiggle underlined the expression under each korban, v'ein bohen. So that in the Zivchei Shamei Yochid, we said Ein Ben Tnufa Chayim. With the opening of the Gemara, you will see a suggestion that the Zivchei Shamei Yochid should have Tnufas Chayim. And it will try to prove that from using a form of logic. However, the Gemara will be Doche, will reject that, and that will appear, that will take place when you see the inverted triangle. The double underline is used simply to highlight which korban we are talking about at each stage. So now, turning to the Gemara. V'yu zivchei shalme yochid, te'unin tenufa chayim mika v'chomer. Let us say that the private korban shlomim should require a live waving, and that can be derived using kal v'chomer logic. And it's as follows: Uma zivchei shamei tzibor, Mind you, the public shlamim, she'ein te'unin smicha chayim, te'unin tenufa chayim, they don't require the placing of the hands on the animal while it's alive. However, they do require live waving. Zivche shame yochid, which is our topic right now, the zivche shame yochid she'te'unin smicha chayim, they do have a live placing of hand requirement. Eino din shetunin tenufa chayim, then they all the more should have a live waving requirement. So based on this kal v'chomer, why is it then that the zivchei shalmei yochid do not have a live waving? Answer: miet rachmona gabi zivchei shalmei tzibor. There is a limitation expression in the case of the public Korban Shlomim that excludes the private Korban Shlomim from a Tenufa from the live Tenufa. Reading that now inside, Miyet Rachmona Gabi Zivche Shalmei Tzibor Oysam. The Oysam is the limitation expression. Oysam is equals limute zivche shame yochid from the live from the tenufa chayim. Hence we understand that the private korban shlamim has only a post slaughtering tenufa. A new suggestion: view zivche shame tzibor tunin smicha mikal v'chomer. Let us suggest that the public korban shlomim does require smicha, which we saw above in the quote from the Mishnah, that is specifically not required by the zivchei shalmei tzibor. Well, how will we arrive at this conclusion that the zivchei shalmei tzibor should have smicha? Through a kal v'chomer as follows: Uma zivchei shalmei yochid she'ein te'unin tenufa chayim te'unin smicha. The private shlamim that does not have a live waving, but it has a smicha. Zivchei shalmei tzibor she'te'unin tenufa chayim. So the public shlomim that does have a live waving, eino din she'te'unin smicha, it certainly should have a smicha done to them. Ravino rejects this and says, Gemiri, we have an oral tradition. Shtei smichos b'tzibor. There are only two times that a public sacrifice has hand placing, and not more than that. And Rashi quotes the two happen to be the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor and the Soyer Hamishtaleach of Yom Kippur. So those two, which are public sacrifices, have smicha, but nothing else. And in that nothing else, we are including the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor as not having smicha. V'yei Oshem Ta'amatzera Ta'un Tenufa Shachut. This is the third sacrifice that was featured by Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, the Oshem Etzora, and he had mentioned that it does not have Tenufa Shachut. It doesn't have a post-slaughter waving. Here we want to say maybe it should. The Oshem Etzora Ton Tenufa Shachut. It should have, the Oshem of the Metzora should have a post-slaughter waving. Mikal v'chomer. Ma zivchei shame yochid she'ein tunin tenufa chayim tunin. Tunin tenufa shrutin, the private korban shlamim does not have a live waving, but it has a post shchita waving. Asher mitzor shetoon tenufa chai, eno din shetoon tenufa shachut. The asher mitzor which does have a live waving certainly should have a post shchita waving. So how is it then that the zivchei, that the asher mitzor does not have a tenufa shachut? There is a limitation expression in the case of the private shlamim in the form of the word oisoi. Oisoi equals limute asher metzora. The idea of a post slaughter waving applies to the shalmei yochid alone, meaning alone to the extent to exclude the asher metzora, so that the word oso is a limitation, but it's not an across-the-boards limitation, because we know that the Kivsei Atzeres, for example, also have a post slaughtering waving. However, Oso does figure as an exclusionary expression with regard to the Osham Mitzora. We continue in the Gemara. We see a Tanaic source in a frame. Tana Rabbanan, Chamisha Sheviu Korban Echad. Five people that are bringing one korban, a joint partnership in a sacrifice. Echad meinif al yedei kulam. One will do the waving on behalf of the rest. V'ho'isha, with regard to a korban brought by a woman, kohen meinif al yoda. The kohen will do the waving for her. So too with regard to someone who sends his korbanos, his sacrifices, from abroad, and he's sending them, he, the owner, is not coming. Kohen meinif al yodo. The kohen will do for him, he will do the waving. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.